Take your Bibles, and we will turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So, amen. Galatians 6, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 10 this morning. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Faint not. Or, I had also titled this, Don't Be Weary in Well-Doing. Or, Look for Opportunities. We're moving to the end for the looking for opportunities part, which I think is something that we need not miss from this passage, because that is where Paul is headed with this in our text this morning. So, Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, for this opportunity that you've given us today to praise and worship you and to share the message of your word together. We pray that you indeed would feed us from it today, that you might help us to grow to be more like our Savior Jesus Christ, that you would bring conviction to our hearts and challenge us, Lord, in your service today. If there be one here that's never trusted Christ, that today might be their day of salvation. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. So, looking for opportunities starts out, we have 3 points. Number one, you will reap what you sow. Point number two, don't get discouraged in doing right. Point number three, look for and take opportunities to do good. Those 3 points from our passage this morning. So we start back with verses 8, verse 7 and 8 here on the don't be deceived part. Okay? Don't be deceived. You will reap what you sow. Okay? So if you sow corn, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap corn. If you sow corn, you're not going to reap apples. Doesn't work that way, okay? Just doesn't work that way. You're not going to sow corn and get green beans. It just doesn't work that way. You reap, you harvest what you plant, what you sow. And that is true in farming, but is also true in life. We reap, we harvest in life, what we sow in life. That is a hard and fast principle that we see portrayed in God's Word many times. And the devil, however, wants to deceive us into thinking otherwise, that you can sow one thing and that you can reap another. Sad to say, we sinful human beings are always trying to get away with something. We always seem to think we will not get caught, that it will not come back to haunt us. But God tells us here bluntly not to be deceived into believing the lie of the devil. In Numbers, God said, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, praise God, because of the mercy and grace of God, He does forgive and He does give grace despite ourselves. However, in general, the case is true. You sow what you reap. And you say, well, if I've been forgiven of all my sins and then, you know, I sowed sin and I get grace. No, what you sowed, somebody did reap. And that was Jesus Christ on the cross as he suffered for your sins and bled and died. Sin does have to be what? It does have to be punished. God is a what? A just God and a righteous God. And therefore, sin had to be punished, and God chose to punish who? He chose to punish his Son in our behalf. But do not be mistaken. Sin does result in suffering, either ours or Christ's on the cross. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil came to Eve. And God had said earlier to Adam, you can eat of every tree but this one here in the middle of the garden. If you eat of it, you will surely what? You will surely die. The devil came to Eve in the form of the serpent and said, you're not going to what? You're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to become like who? Like him. No, you're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to have everything that is coming to you. That's the lie of the devil. And that's the lie that goes out all the time in this world today. You know, your parents, they just don't want you to have any fun. You know, it's you're not going to face the consequences. You're not going to get caught. But be sure your sin will find you out. Don't be deceived by the devil. Good has its rewards, even for the lost, though temporary it may be. But evil always produces more evil and rains down upon the head of those who choose it dreadful consequences. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The wages of sin is what? Death, destruction, ruin, heartache. If you don't turn to Christ for salvation, eternal destruction in a place called the lake of fire. But sin still has other consequences in our daily lives. It destroys churches. It destroys families. It destroys people's testimony. It just can destroy a Christian's joy. It is destructive. It is not your friend. It is your enemy. But you, child of God, are not called unto wickedness. We are called unto good works. You have been declared righteous in Christ Jesus. Now choose to live it. Do what is right. So the right thing, don't sow the what? Don't sow the wrong thing. You know, some teams, it seems that, and Saul did this in the Old Testament. Samuel sent Saul off to kill all of the who? Amalekites. He was supposed to bring none of them, nor none of their things back, nor none of their livestock. He was to kill them all by the command of who? By the command of God. Okay? And so Saul went. However, in his pride, he had to bring back the king. So he left the king alive and brought him back as a trophy, which they did. In those days, and he brought back a bunch of the livestock, and then he told Samuel, well, it wasn't me, the people did it. Well, who's in charge? Are you the king or are you not the king? But Samuel said to Saul, is obedience better than sacrifice? Which is it? Which is better, to obey in the first place or to disobey and then sacrifice? Which is it? Is it better to sin and get forgiveness, or is it better not to sin? The answer is what? It's better not to sin. It's always best to do what is right, to begin with. That is what God desires. He desires obedience. Yes, He is a gracious and merciful God who will forgive. But He desires what? Obedience of His children. Not only does He deserve it, but it is also best for who? It is best for us. Don't be deceived. You will sow what you reap. There are consequences for sin. You say, even for the Christian? Yes, even for the Christian. But I've been forgiven. That's right. In light of eternal judgment, your sins have been what? Washed away, and they will not be held against you. For your name is written in the book of what? Life. In light of eternal judgment, they are gone. However, sin still has consequences where? Here, in this life. Sin still has consequences. Does God chasten His children when they sin? Yes, because He what? Because He loves them. And because they won't turn off their phone ringer. Just kidding with you, Faye. All right. Two things happen when Christians sin. We suffer the same earthly consequences as the lost around us. Suffer the same earthly consequences. Being a child of God does not exempt you from the consequences of sin, even physical death. If you get drunk or you do drugs, they will addict you and destroy you physically, just like who? Just like the sinful world about you. You're not immune because you're a what? A Christian. Matter of fact, God expects more of you as a Christian. For instance, sexual promiscuity can result in unwanted pregnancy, disease, and all kinds of other problems. Speeding or driving carelessly can still get you a what? A ticket. You say to the policeman, but I'm a Christian. Okay, yeah, that works really well. No, not going to let you off the hook because you're a Christian. Okay? You're not going to get let off the hook when you speed through the red light and you hit a car. There's still consequences to sin, the same as everybody else. You sow what you reap. Being a Christian also does not exempt you from the chastisement of the Lord. The Word of God and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, help us to avoid these consequences by instructing us on how to do right, so we avoid them. However, if we stubbornly ignore the Holy Spirit, if we stubbornly ignore the instruction of the Word of God, God will also bring chastening into the life of a Christian. God declares in Hebrews 12 that every child He loves, He what? He chastens. He chastises. He disciplines. If you start sowing sin in your life unrepentantly and again, God isn't up in heaven saying, ooh, I got them now. No, that's not our God. He's a loving and merciful God. But our Father in heaven is watching, and as He sees us starting to go into a place that is going to do us harm and His glory harm, God is going to say, okay, I've got to step in and what? I've got to step in and do something. Because if my son wants to run out into the street in front of a car at 5 years old, I'm not going to just let him. I'm going to try to what? Try to stop him. Why? Because I love him. God brings chastening in the life of His children too. Why? Because He loves them. And if he continues just to let us go down a path of sin that brings terrible consequences into our life, that's not loving. Loving is trying to step in to stop us. And sometimes that chastening isn't pleasant. illness, tragedy, misery, guilt, sorrow, trials, difficulties, areas in which God does bring chastening into the lives of people. And all of us want to be Job. Now we a lot of times when we think, oh yes, something bad is happening, I must be who? I must be Job. Right. Remember when Job, God allowed Satan to take everything away from Job? And his friends told him what? His friends told him, repent, Job. There's a terrible sin in your life, and that's why you're suffering. Because suffering is always the result of you doing something bad in your life. Is that true? No, it's not true. In James says, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Sometimes God allows, and He must allow, difficulties, because it's the difficulties in our life that help us to what? That help us to grow. Okay? So not all bad things are a result of something bad you personally did in your life. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes God is trying to get our what? Our attention. So at least give it some thought. If difficult times are upon you, make sure that there's nothing between your soul and your Savior. Because there may be something He's trying to open your eyes to see. Don't miss it. But when you obey your Heavenly Father, on the other side, when you sow that which is good, you lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. And His blessings where? On earth, which you will not regret. If you reap good things, you will reap blessings. You sow sin, you will reap consequences and destruction. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. When we sow good things, we see the blessings of the Lord. However, the blessings do not always come in the time and manner that we expect. We're not preaching a prosperity gospel. You give money in the plate, you'll get back 10 times as much. Does it work that way? Does God promise that? I don't think so. That's not what God is talking about. The greatest blessings in life is not money in the what? It's not money in the bank. And sometimes blessings, we don't even interpret as blessings. Romans 8:29. Behold, all things work together what? For good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That means that God uses things in our life to benefit us, for our benefit. But sometimes those things we don't interpret as good things. We interpret them as bad things. But God is working. We have to what? We need to trust Him. But sometimes you do right, and it seems like the opposite happens. But trust the Lord. He knows what He's doing, like He did in the life of Job. So that brings us to the second point in our message this morning, and that is, don't get discouraged. Don't get weary in doing what? In doing right, doing good. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, in time, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't get discouraged in doing that which is right, in doing the things that honor the Lord, in serving Him, because it seems that you're not seeing the blessings, or the road is rocky and hard. Don't get discouraged. God always keeps His word, and God is working, and He will reward you. Don't get discouraged. Sometimes the blessings for doing what is right and God honoring are not immediately apparent. A matter of fact, sometimes it seems quite the opposite. For instance, you're told in Scripture to confront a brother or sister who has wronged you and continues to do so in particular. And so, You do. You confront them in a loving manner, and well, what happens? They blow up, and they get what? And they get angry, and they quit talking to you, and you go, oh, man, it didn't work. It didn't work. Well, give God a chance to what? Give God a chance to work. Okay? The initial response of somebody not walking in the Spirit when rebuked is to what? To get angry. Give God a chance to work. And don't just chalk it up to say, well, look, it didn't work. Give God a chance. Don't be weary in what we're doing. Be prayerful. Pray for that person. Be patient. Be kind. Be loving. Don't give up. You try to tell your relative or your neighbor about Christ, they respond negatively. They avoid you. They quit talking to you. Maybe even they're actually mean to you. Well, it didn't work. I did that was right, and it didn't work. No, give God a chance. Be patient. Don't be weary in well-doing. Oftentimes, you have to witness to dozens of people before one person responds. Don't give up in being a witness for Jesus Christ, because that 100th person you hand a tract to or you witness to may be ripe for the harvest. But you got to get there. And if you give up after the 5th person that slammed the door in your face, well, that wouldn't be good, would it? The disciples, after the day of Pentecost, they went out preaching the gospel in Jerusalem. Originally on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. A few days later, another 1,000 or so got saved. But was everybody happy with the disciples? No. The leadership was very what? Unhappy. Where did they end up in? Jail. Interrogation. Being threatened by the leadership. How about the Apostle Paul? We studied this on Sunday night a few weeks ago. He came to the city of Philippi. And he found Lydia and led her to the Lord. And then there was this this slave girl who was following him around. And he delivered her from the demon that had enslaved her, that was using her. And others were using her for fortune-telling to make money. And he delivered her from that. And the people got mad at him, the people that owned the slave girl, and they had him thrown in what? They had him thrown in prison. So he's simply doing good for people and serving the Lord. And what's the result? He gets thrown in prison. So after they beat him, they throw him in prison. And what are Paul and Silas doing in prison? Singing. They're singing praises to the Lord in the middle of the night. And when God brings an earthquake and shakes the jail and opens the doors and the jailer comes in and Paul says, "Don't kill yourself, we're still here." He immediately says to Paul, "What must I do to be what? Saved." And you say, Paul was doing right, and look at what happened to him. He got beat, and he got thrown in jail. So, he did right, and bad things happened. No, he did right, and the second convert in Philippi got saved. And his household got saved. And a church was planted in Philippi, because the Apostle Paul did not get weary in well-doing. He went to the city of Lystra. They stoned him and left him for what? For dead, for preaching the gospel and telling them that there was only one true God. He came back through Lystra on his way back through and ministered some more. We just started the second missionary journey a few weeks ago on Sunday night. Paul goes back to Lystra again, and he picks up who? He picks up Timothy, a young man that was saved. And you say, why did Paul go back to Lystra after they stoned him and left him for dead? Timothy and others like him that came to know the Lord as Savior. You see, don't be weary in well-doing. They are the words of the Lord, but they're also the words of who? They're also the words of Paul. Paul knows of that which he speaks. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God pleads with you as child. Do not give up or get discouraged in his service. Your reward will come, and after you will see the benefits of serving Christ and doing what is right, that they were all worth it. There's a song in our hymn book. It's entitled, It Will Be What? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I don't actually like that song to a point, because I believe it's worth it all now. I believe it's worth it all now. It will only get better. But it is worth it all. Consider Jesus Christ our Savior. He came in obedience to the Father. He served, he ministered, but it did not elicit a reward, but instead suffering, rejection, and what? And death. But God also now hath highly what? Exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you, Christian, are an heir and a joint heir, the Bible says, with Jesus Christ. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes in the ministry, you kind of scratch your head and wonder. You know, you preach the Word and you teach the Word and you try to help and minister to people, and sometimes it just doesn't seem like anything's changing or anybody's responding. When I was a youth pastor in Georgia before I came here, there was a young man in my youth group by the name of Stephen. Stephen didn't come very often. He would come for a while and quit, and come for a while and quit, come for a while. And when he was there, I'd minister to him. I went to visit him, and I tried to build a relationship with him, but it was hard and it was difficult. And he went off to college, and I thought, you know something, I'll never see him again. Well, not long after I came here, Stephen got married, and Stephen and his wife and his two kids are faithful members at the church where I youth pastored and have been now for several years. Don't be weary in what? In well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There was a young man who was out of high school when I came. His brother was in my youth group, and his name was Matt. And Matt had no real interest in coming to church. He had made a profession of faith, but he wasn't coming to church. And then he messed up. He sinned, and he came to revival, and the Lord got a hold of his heart. And the Lord humbled him, and he started coming, and we had Bible study together every week for 2 years, just me and Matt. The Lord took him out of Publix, where he worked in Georgia, and led him and his family down to Pensacola, where for the past 20 years they worked for Pensacola Christian College. Don't be weary in well-doing. There's a lady in the church, in our church in Georgia, that ran a little ACE school. Her name was Donna, and she had me come once a week for 10 years to have chapel with her group of kids. And they were not, she drew a lot of the down and outers, the kids that couldn't make it in traditional school or had discipline issues. And some kids would come and go, some wouldn't make it very long. But there are many, many, many success stories of lives that were turned around in that little school, which was her house. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Serving the Lord, helping others, proclaiming His word does bring results. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't give up. God is working. And then finally, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Finally, look for what? Opportunities. Don't miss the opportunities, Paul says. They are all around you. Don't miss them. Sad to say, sometimes we're just so introspective and caught up in our problems in our own little world that we miss so many opportunities to minister and to help others. Look for opportunities to be good, to be helpful, to be a testimony for the Lord. Don't wait for them to drop in your lap. Actually, God drops them in our lap all the time and we don't see them because we expect the person to walk up to us and say, you know, tell me how to be saved. Or we expect the person to walk up to say, this is how you can help me. But it doesn't happen that way. But God puts people in our path that need the Savior. He puts people in our path that you know, you can tell they're hurting. You know they have needs. But it's so easy to what? To look the other way and say, well, somebody else will take care of it. But if it's God brings them across your path, that is your what? That's your opportunity. Open your eyes to those whose paths you cross and look for ways to show them God's love, to help them in their time of need, to encourage them when they're down. Share a word from God with them. Give them the gospel. Don't miss the what? Don't miss the opportunities. Your relatives. Every Thanksgiving I go home to Virginia. I have relatives who have needs. We have a little family reunion. I have relatives and I'm not absolutely sure they're saved. I have opportunities. How sad to go year after year after year after year and enjoy turkey in a football game. And frisbee golf. We play frisbee golf too. And we play guitars and music a lot. But how sad to go enjoy all those things and year after year miss the opportunity. I know someone in this church I've mentioned before that goes and has coffee at McDonald's every morning because he loves coffee. No, I don't know if he loves coffee. Maybe he does. But I know he goes to a specific McDonald's every morning because he has people there that he's got to know that he ministers to. I knew a person in this church that sat at the bus stop and handed out tracts to others. His name was Steve Morris. He moved to Tampa and then he passed away a couple months ago. Brother Steve was confined to a wheelchair. He had to take the bus, so he would take tracts with him. And while he was waiting at the bus stop, he would talk to people about the Lord. I know another who tells me often, I talk to somebody this week, I talk to somebody that week, about every other week, prayer time. Yeah, I talk to so-and-so. Praise the Lord. Keep it up. I know others who send out cards and who look for people to encourage. Others who show up for work day. Or they find out somebody that has a need and they go to help with the problem at their house that they can't afford to pay for. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not. But don't miss those opportunities because they may not come again. As God gives you opportunity, use the talents and the time and the love He has given you. You will reap what you sow. In times like these, opportunities abound. Don't miss those. Look for others who are in need and look for opportunities to serve the Lord. Our greatest example is who? Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2. I had it on the screen, but it's not working, so read it to you. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ came to do good for us, and he gave his life that we might be saved. But he is exalted. He is reaping his reward. And he will for all eternity. And we in Christ can do the same. Look to our example, Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, he took notice of the downtrodden in society. He went to them with a message of hope. He healed their diseases. He heard their cries. He wept with them. He stopped to raise a widow's son from the dead. He didn't have to do that. Just passing by. But this widow needed a son. She was all alone. He raised her son from the dead. He traveled through Samaria to talk to the woman at the what? Woman at the well. He told his disciples to let the children come. He healed the man with a withered hand. And a man by the pool of Bethesda, knowing that it would draw the ires of the leaders that he did it on the Sabbath. But there was a man that for years was wanting to be healed. Jesus alone could heal him. He died on a cross for your sins and mine. He is our example of doing good and persevering. Look to him. Learn how it is done. Read about him in God's Word. Find time to do so. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus said to his disciples after he washed their feet, he said, "Happy are ye if ye what? Do. Happy are ye if you do those things that I have shown you." Indeed, as Christians, you will have the joy of the Lord in your heart when we don't get weary in well-doing, when we keep trusting the Lord and we look for opportunities to sow good things, not only in our life, but in the lives of what? In the lives of others. God will make those to what? To grow and blossom and bring forth fruit. But we must not be weary in well-doing. And we must not be deceived into thinking that we can sow evil and reap good. We must trust the Lord. And if you're here today, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you will let Him, He will change your life forever. He suffered the cross to save your soul. If you will come, He will change your life and your eternity. And Christian, don't miss those opportunities this week. And if the Lord has touched your heart, maybe you've been sowing the wrong thing. What do we do? If we what? confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. For the reminder here this morning, not be deceived by the devil who teaches and tells people that they can do wrong and get away with it. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's not trusting Christ as Savior, Lord, open their eyes and help them to see. Satan is a deceiver, and he wants them to think there's another way. He wants them to think, well, I'll just put it off till tomorrow, and it'll be okay. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Lord, open their heart to receive Jesus Christ and what He did for them today. And Lord, for those who know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that we would not get discouraged in doing what is right, that we would trust You, that we would be able to see things more from Your perspective, and Lord, that we would not get weary, but that we would keep serving the Lord, confessing that which is wrong, doing that which is right, ministering to others in the name of Christ, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.